From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. A battle was underway for a radio station in Los Angeles, California. The general manager of radio station KPFK in Los Angeles, Leslie Radford, was notified on Monday that she was being terminated, and her replacement, Christine Blasdale, was named as interim general manager. For more on that, we spoke with Adam Rice, who's a producer at KPFK, and Cynthia McKinney, former member of Congress, who is also a producer at KPFK. McKinney's program was the first removed from the air Monday evening by the new manager. Let's start with Adam. Adam, you got notice essentially that there was the general manager was fired, that a new interim general manager was appointed, and that there were programming changes made immediately. Tell us what happened.
Well, I mean, to do it quickly. Like about a year and a half ago, a woman named Leslie Radford came in as the general manager of the station, and she opened up the station to the people of Los Angeles, probably for the first time in 10 years. And she was rewarded by that by KPFK, actually for the first time in about 6 years, becoming actually getting to the point where its net income was greater than its net expenditures. And that was due to her management. And a big piece of that was bringing in community programming. Like, you know, in the drive time, she brought in Nana Jamfi, Sister Charlene Muhammad, Tonda Sizwe Chimurenga, amazing voices that got really popular really quick. And and brought back Jerry Quickly. And in the evening at midnight, from midnight to 3, we took advantage of the FCC's safe harbor rule, which is why the show is called Safe Harbor, in which, you know, you can use as long as you're not obscene, which, you know, in 2017, meeting the community standards of obscenity, especially in L.A., is almost an impossible thing to do.
It hurt anyway.
we started Safe Harbor. And for our second season, what we did is we rolled it out in 13-week seasons, and we would switch shows, or some shows would fall off for about 6 weeks and come back. Like we were on season 3 of my show, Music to Resist By. And it's a music and public affairs show. We interview people that are doing work in the streets, not only just in LA, but all over the world. And, you know, working for their people. And just try to have those conversations, help people understand the tactics you should use, the strategies that are going on, and the struggles that are going on around us. It's that sort of community focused programming, and bringing Cynthia in for season 2 was a coup. I got to admit it, Sister Cynthia, I bragged on you for a week. I still bragged on you all the way up until they took us out the air. So, I mean, I'm like, I got Cynthia McKinney. What you got? You
know, and then Cynthia, Cynthia started producing the program, Midnight Oil, which runs in an hour, right? An hour program slot at midnight, Monday to Tuesday, L.A. time. And then you found out your program was the first one canceled. That was like their first order of business of this new coup.
Well, I'm accustomed to being booted from places. I was booted from Congress. But now to be booted from Pacifica is just like unbelievable. Well, I mean, it's unbelievable for me. And I understand the fights that Pacifica has been engaged in over the years, and Adam will attest to this, that I've tried to be a peacemaker and actually put myself on the line to try and mediate, moderate, and bring the factions together so that we could actually have a successful community-oriented radio program. And a radio station. And this move by people that I know is absolutely shocking, and it's extremely disappointing to me.
So, Adam, you had Leslie take charge. It was June of 2015. Am I remembering that correctly? Somewhere around there.
Absolutely. Yeah, we aired CPR Metro News that day, and then we're fighting to get it on a regular spot, actually. So, yeah.
And there was a lot of resistance. I remember as a matter of fact, Uprising, which is one of the programs that's been there for a long time, there was a battle over that. People were trying to organize, after Leslie was hired, on-air strikes and to sabotage the, you know, her administration. And nevertheless, with all of that going on, brought new programming and more money. As you said, for a Pacifica station, people have to understand this. When you say more revenue than expense, that's an extraordinary condition for a Pacifica station.
I swear to God, we're the only one. I've seen everybody's books. We're the only one. I don't care. KPFA is lying. I've seen it. KPFK is the only one.
So, and I mean, that's pretty remarkable. And you've said that the reason that this happened was you started involving the community in the radio station again, and the community's been supporting it now.
Well, I mean, that's the Pacifica mission, and that's what Leslie, when we walked in the door, came back to. Like this. Look, so you're right. They're on air strikes, but even before she walked in the door, you got to think she walked into the middle of a 2-year long defame, defund, destroy strategy. You know, I mean, straight out of Hoover's playbook. So you got the ex ED Summer Reese, the one who locked herself in the office. And Berkeley for
with
a month.
Mommy, with her mommy.
I still don't know why they didn't just cut off the power, but that's not the point. But she had her whole troops around. So she had like Tracy Rosenberg every week writing negative articles that are lies. One example that clearly springs to mind is we had moved Jose Benavides, who is the producer on Nana Jamfi and Tandy and all that, on their Uprising slot. We had moved into producer, so he wasn't on board ops, so she must have heard through the grapevine. She literally put out, oh, Lizzie Radford fired Jose Benavides, and all in an attempt to create dissension among the staff. This is she had done from the beginning. And then you had this push from Grace Aaron and Ken Aaron, who literally for the last year and a half had been moving funds as members of the board. And as members of the national board, as officers of the corporation, moving funds away from Pacifica into a nonprofit that they run that directly pays them, called the Social Uplift Foundation.
Wow.
They had been raising money to file lawsuits against Pacifica. They also sponsored the slate of people in New York, the Indy Caucus, which boycotted all of 2016. And if you boycott your meetings, you can't elect officers. But then they sued because they couldn't elect officers. Okay.
Right.
So it seems like it's a coordinated strategy to, like I said, defund, defame, destroy Pacifica. I hate to roll out and people say, well, everybody's got a conspiracy theory. Yeah, but I have actual documents to back this one up.
You know, so if we're looking at that, one of the things you look at if you're trying to prove a crime, quote unquote, or an act, is motivation or motive. And Cynthia, some of the things that you've covered in your program, again, the first act, official act of this new administration was to knock your program off the air. What are some of the things that you've been talking about that perhaps... you don't see anywhere else? You'd think that that's exactly what Pacifica wants, but it seems like they're trying to silence the same conversation that's been silenced pretty much everywhere else.
Well, I had been leading up to my analysis of the two deep state factions that are duking it out and that are literally confusing, and this is being done on purpose, confusing the public. And so I was getting a lot of comments from people in my social media about, please tell us what the heck is going on. And so I began to try and unravel just exactly from my point of view and from my personal experience, what I witnessed, what I believe was going on, and the theory behind it. So for tonight, for example, my show focused on Clio Dynamics, which is a fancy, it's a very bookish kind of way to, it's a theory put forward by Dr. Peter Turchin, who's a professor at University of Connecticut. And basically, what he says is that when you have a period of growth, population growth, then you also have expansion of the deep state. But unfortunately, there's not enough positions of power to satisfy all of the claimants who want to be power wielders in the deep state. And so then you have factions that arise, and those factions fight each other. That's exactly what's happening now. And so you've got one faction, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, is willing to sacrifice the United States for its globalist agenda. And you have another faction that is not willing to sacrifice the United States and wants to turn the ship of state around. I call them the pilgrims versus the globalists, right, the neocon globalists. And so that was the show for tonight, was to bring this all together in a description of just exactly what these two factions are, their genesis, and their penchant for violence. Because what Dr. Turchin recently predicted is that there's going to be more violence than we've seen. So I discussed the cycles of violence and basically the idea of bringing Operation Gladio home to the United States.
You know, that perspective, which is not different, by the way, in terms of how it looks at historical development from a Marxist model, really. It looks at a whole gaggle of social processes that are underway and that cause all kinds of evolution and then sets the conditions for these kinds of conflicts. And we're looking at this more or less right now, having been symbolized in the Democratic Party primary and also in the Republican Party primary, and then in the general election, with, say, Trump representing the ones who want to, you know, they're looking to a strong American economy as the basis of their power, where the others, the globalists, are looking at a weak American economy and weak economies everywhere where they can dominate the entire picture on the other side of it. And that's the conflict that's being played out.
Yes. And so what I went on to point out is that, okay, for the pilgrims, you've got, Trump this week talked about human trafficking. Well, you've got genocide of the Native Americans, theft of land, human trafficking in the transatlantic slave trade. So you've got a group of people, well, now it's their progeny, who are not averse to using violence in order to achieve a goal. On the other side, you've got the globalists, and I don't have to explain to you with all of the wars, and I just posted something today from Elliot Abrams pointing a finger at Lebanon. So those seven countries, and you just add Yemen to the lot that Wesley Clark talked about, well, there's action now. And that switch has been flipped. We are engaged in war in West Asia, North Africa, and the purpose of that war is the creation of entirely new states, like, for example, Kurdistan, if you look at the maps, and clearing out the population in Syria so that you can make way for that. So you've got a confluence of interests that are coming together in this particular region of the world. And that for a long time, the pilgrims and the globalists, they work together hand in hand. But now when it comes to who actually is going to have their finger on the nuclear button, that's a whole different issue now. And they're fighting for that. But the globalists on their side, which was the show that I was about to bring in for next week, focuses on Seymour Hersh's Samson option. So now you've got a group of people who are willing to push the nuclear button, right, if they don't win. And so now this unprecedented amount of military power is in the hands of two factions that are willing to use it. So it is an extremely dangerous period. The people don't need to be tricked or bamboozled or fooled into supporting one side over the other without understanding just exactly what it is that they're supporting.
And, you know, you're seeing that conflict played out, you know, among the military and the intelligence establishments. And on the ground, we saw, like, the CIA's Syrian rebels shooting at the DIA's Syrian rebels, et cetera, for a little while after the election and before Trump took office. And you've also seen, I mean, if you were looking at the political establishment, I would say what we call in Marxist terms the national bourgeoisie, those that are looking at building the American economy because they own it, are looking at you know, they're supporting Trump, and Trump is attempting to negotiate a foreign policy that will help to build this, which means engaging China, even Russia, but particularly China, Latin America, and some of these other places at a conference table instead of on a battlefield, while the globalists are saying basically to Russia, look, shut up, we own what you have, and we'll blow you up if you don't. And that is kind of the backdrop to this whole drive to undo the election in November.
Well, imagine if you've got a group of folks saying, okay, we'll blow you up over there in Russia, but imagine if they say, and we'll blow things up here at home.
Yep.
Well, it's interesting y'all having this real conversation about real issues and a realistic concept. And I keep saying the word real because that seems to be the problem of why they wanted these shows and this actual involvement to go away. I mean, you got to think most of the people that came to this station are Democratic Party wonks, you know, and most of the people that are on the board who engineered a coup on our national board, engineered a coup by firing Leslie Radford without notice, without cause, and without a buyout option. I mean, that is the Democratic Party. And matter of fact, it was Jan Goodman and Jerry Manperl sitting in her office doing that, along with Bill Crozier, the fake new IED. That's what it seems like. These shows that bring out things like Cynthia, and you see why it's so hard for me to follow Cynthia on my show. Like, you know what my show was for tonight? It was about you should vote for Proposition H and you should not vote for Proposition F. It was straight LA focused on our politics. So it's like, wow. Every time I hear Cynthia's show, I'll be like, damn, I gotta set my game up, man.
Well, no, but see, the role of a community radio station is to have people involved locally too. And so what you were doing, right. and here's an interesting wrinkle to this. On the one hand, Trump is being cast rightly or wrongly as being anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim. Leslie was actually organizing people to show up every time there was an ICE raid reported and confirming or denying and organizing this stuff on her own. And the Democratic Party is playing as if they're allies of immigrants in California, for example, and yet they take out someone who's actively involved in that, as are you, by the way.
Yeah, every time we put that out, we got a bunch of Democrats calling and crying. Like, oh, well, I just went through there and I didn't see a checkpoint. Well, that's why we said reports of. Why don't you confirm it?
Right.
You know, it seemed like an adversarial thing from the start. And I honestly don't think it had much to do with Leslie. I think it had to do with, I don't know. I still can't tell what it had to do with. I swear. I know we look for motive, but the only motive I can find it in my mind, I mean, I'm sure there's a million other motives to repress and bring in the Democratic Party and all of that. But the only unifying motive I can find among all these disparate people with weird, out of date political ideologies, if you can even call them that,
right.
You know, is that they just want to be in control, and it is more of a status thing for them. I mean, you got to think, it's like our average listener at KPFK is 62 years old, and that's nothing against 62 year olds. Our general manager is 60. I'm not going to tell her age. You're going to get me killed. But you know, she's about that age. But she also understands that she can't, I mean, Pacifica may look nice in her coffin, but it's not right to be buried with it. You know, we have an entire new generation that needs to be involved, especially in terrestrial radio, especially as everybody, as the constant move. And everyone, oh, Trump's doing, well, yeah, what's happening under Obama, Clinton, all of that, as the constant move on net neutrality, and the joke of a mainstream media, you have to have something like Pacifica. I think there will be a day soon when terrestrial radio like Pacifica will probably again be the only source of real news when you get down to it, once they start smashing on the internet.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And you can see it coming. And so we, you know, there's only so many of us. And if they're able to split us up by confusing us and misleading us, then we're stretched extremely thin on many different fronts.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, we're looking at this particular battle, but it's a good idea to put it in the context of the landscape in general. You know, you look at MSNBC and CNN, and it's essentially, when I turn them on now, the first question I ask myself is, okay, so what are they saying that Trump did that's horrible today? And, you know, at 4:35, 6 o'clock, when they turn over to the day's mantra, that's the first thing that you'll see. And it encompasses maybe 75% or more of the coverage. You'll have a fire here and somebody got blown up there, et cetera. And no analysis of any of that. I mean, I haven't heard any deep analysis of the situation in Syria as it's turned over the last 2 months, for example. Then they go back to that message. The New York Times and the Washington Post, you can look at the front page. The Washington Post sets up this, critique of basically Russian collaborators among the American media, like BlackAgendaReport.com and others. And it turns out the website that they set up, it was created the day before the news story in the Washington Post that proved that there was Russian interference in American media, et cetera. Nobody's posted to that website since that happened in late November. It reminded me of...
Oh, wait, they accused Glenn Ford of being a Russian spy. Did I just hear that right?
In essence, yeah. There was a list. And they got removed, although I spoke with Margaret Kimberly from Black Agenda Report last week, and she said, you know, a lot of people contacted them and said, we don't belong there, remove us, and they did. And Glenn Ford, apparently, according to Margaret, was wearing it as a badge of honor. So they got taken down anyway, but they didn't address it. But what happened, it reminds me of this movie Shattered Glass. It was about a guy at the New Republic who was fabricating stories, and in order to protect himself when he was under, you know, being challenged by a senior editor there, made up a fake website. And this is the kind of stuff that's going on now, Washington Post and, you know, or across the media spectrum. So if you look at KPFK or any of the Pacifica stations or any other independent stations as being places where you can crack this wall-to-wall narrative, you can see that they're going to be targets of, you know, the powers that be.
Yeah.
Well, so Pacifica has become a target. KPFK took the hit. So now the question that I have is for Adam or for you, Don, since you've been through this with WBAI, what's the end game?
Yeah, it seems to me that the most necessary part of it at the very beginning is to organize communications so that it's possible to continue speaking to the audience and bringing the information that apparently someone doesn't want them to have to the audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
Adam. No. Go ahead, Sister Cynthia.
No. I wanted to hear from you about what you thought the end game of these people might be.
Well, I mean, from what I could tell from the end game, their intention of an end game. I'm not even talking about, you know, our move, but their intention of an end game. Look, I look at the illegal move that was made on the national board. Okay, so they had agreed, everybody, a unanimous consensus that they would have a meeting on, I believe it was the 14th of January. And immediately after they got off the phone, these people noticed another meeting for 8 days later, which was not properly noticed. They came back and then they tried to notice another meeting, you know, and this is the meeting. And when several other people of the national board, including the chair, said, look, this meeting was not properly noticed. We agreed to meet on this date. This meeting is now closed, and left the call. That's when they moved forward after the meeting had been closed by the chair, you know, and because it was not properly noticed, they moved forward and elected Bill Crozier as the IED. They moved to take off some of the affiliates. You know, and what's crazy is the next week when they tried to move and confirm it, they didn't have the numbers to do it. So obviously they couldn't have done it with those people there. I mean, there's a complete lack of any sort of democratic process there. And then, you know, you move on to the illegal firing, in my opinion, of Leslie Radford. I mean, I believe you had to have cause. You know, from what I hear, I think she's supposed to have arbitration somewhere in her contract. So how do you just throw somebody out the door and escort her out of the building like she didn't say, I mean, you got to think what happened in August, right after she came in, she realized, oh, wow, thanks for telling me. KPFK is $700,000 in debt. She took a 50% pay cut when she just took a pay cut to take this job to be in solidarity with her staff. And yet again, what did these people do? Not even just the staff. Don't get me wrong. There was reactionary crying staff that could not understand that they needed a job, that if they didn't take this cut, they wouldn't even have a paycheck at all. You know, but there was also staff that understood that and were willing to take that hit. But when you look at, like, yet again, Rosenberg, continuous weekly hits, weekly attacks, talking about union busting and all this. And what happened when the arbitration with the union came down? The union specifically said, no, Ms. Radford acted in good faith. Yet Rosenberg, Aaron, all these people continue to push this lie, even though they have all of the facts in front of them in writing. So that says to me that you do not have the best intention of Pacifica at heart. So what I see in all these illegal moves and the fact that they've been continually filing frivolous lawsuits, and don't let me forget to mention Steve Brown and Gary Null are in the mix as well. And it is, I think the intention, from what I can see, and I hate to think this about anybody, is to put Pacifica in a position where it's unsavable. Right. And I think that they really mm-hmm. think that if the network breaks up and goes into bankruptcy, oh, we'll be able to get it. Not thinking that if you go into receivership, especially if ordered by the court, say in the instance of the upcoming suit from the Empire State Building, that they will not give these licenses to anybody who's associated with screwing them up ever. So I don't understand what these people think they're going to gain from it. I really think I do think that is what they think, even though they're incredible, even though they're completely wrong. And I think that they will do anything that they can to do that.
That sounds like something that we call down south, we say fattening frogs for snakes. So basically what it sounds like is that there's a few people who think they might get the stations, but they're just clearing the way for Clear Channel and such.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the danger too. And let me just say, we'll finish with this, Cynthia, that with everything that's going on, you know, the complete polarization of working people in the United States, among other things, but the whole political body here, without a means of communication, what are the hopes for trying to bring some sort of order out of all of this chaos?
Well, you got to have a way to inform, organize, and mobilize folk. And, you know, we haven't seen the blossoming of social media. We haven't been able to use social media in the way that the government entities have used it to overthrow for regime change in so-called Arab Spring and in Serbia,
Ukraine,
as well with Otpor. So and if we lose access to the internet, then as Adam has already said, we got to have radio. And if we don't have radio, then we got to have something, and we got to start creating it now in anticipation of everything being taken away from us.
All right. Thank you very much, Cynthia McKinney, Adam Rice. Appreciate this. And there's a Facebook page that people can go to get more information about this. It's called KPFK-Undo the Coup. Thank you very much, you guys.
Thank you, Brother Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.